With Father's Day around the corner, I've been thinking, how does parenthood change dads? We talk a lot about how motherhood reshapes our identity, but we don't always hear what it's like from the dad's perspective. If you've ever wondered about what's happening on the other side of many of our parenting partnerships, this one's for you. Welcome to Mom's Guide to Finding Herself, where we share stories of side hustles and surviving while parenting young children. I'm your host, Chrissy Bold. Let's make motherhood less lonely and help you find joy in being you again. So we talk a lot here about how motherhood changes us, how we lose ourselves, reshape our identity, and start figuring out who we are all over again. But with Father's Day coming up, I've been thinking, what about the dads? What's shifting for them in all of this? That's why I invited Adam Flaherty on today. Adam's the host of the popular podcast Modern Dadhood, a podcast where he has honest, thoughtful conversations with dads about what fatherhood really looks like beyond the stereotypes. He's a dad to, in his words, two powerful girls and married to what he calls an equally powerful wife. He's a really creative guy based in Maine who juggles work as a video editor, commercial director, podcast developer, and even a voice actor on the side. Basically, if it involves storytelling, Adam's going to do it. In this episode, we talk about how his identity shifted when he became a dad, what he let go of, and what surprised him, and how he's trying to show up for his family fully while staying connected to himself. Adam, thank you so much for being here with me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me, Chrissy. I appreciate it.
I'm excited to have you here as the Modern Dadhood representative to talk about fatherhood, Father's Day, so we can get a glimpse into the other side of what many of us are parenting with. But first today, I want to hear about your journey to parenthood. So tell me, who were you before you became a dad?
So before I was a dad, I was a musician. Late high school and in college, I played a lot of music, wrote music, performed on stage with a couple of different bands and sometimes solo. And it was a pretty big part of my identity. And that is one of the things that when I became a dad, although music is still a big part of my life as a listener and a fan and a casual, you know, guitar player for my family, I don't perform or write music at all anymore.
Oh, that's such a huge shift for you.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing that I kind of left behind when I became a dad. And to be honest, I don't really mind it too much.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many great things about music and playing music and performing that I can enjoy with my daughters, but I don't necessarily miss the like getting up on stage. One of the things that a lot of people might not realize about being in a band, it's like when you're in college and all your buddies live within 5 minutes of each other, it's like so easy to just get together and jam.
Yeah.
But when you actually take that project and bring it into like live music establishments, clubs and restaurants and things like that, it very quickly becomes a business. And suddenly you spend all of your free time like trying to recruit your friends to come and see you. And so that part of it, I don't miss as much. But yeah, that's one thing that was a big part of my identity growing up. And when I had kids, I kind of, I guess, shed that layer of skin, so to speak, for like to offer a really kind of disgusting, gruesome reference.
I'm here for it. I think we all are. So you were super into music, doing your thing. You went to college. How did you meet your wife?
We met in college, actually. We lived in the same dorm. And we were both dating other people at the time, but we kind of became friends. And then a couple of years later, when the opportunity presented itself, we went out on a date, and the rest is history. And that was over 20 years ago now, 22 years ago.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, did you know you always wanted kids, or was this something that it just kind of, it was the next step in your relationship?
I did know that I always wanted kids. I am the youngest of four, and so I have three siblings who are all significantly older than me. So my oldest brother is 20 years older. And so my two of my three other siblings have kids. And they had those kids when I was in like late high school, early college. And so it was a great age for me to like watch them grow up and be part of their lives when they were growing up. And I had tons of opportunities to babysit on a couple different occasions. One of my brothers and his wife like would go like on a multi-day vacation, just them. And so I was alone with the kids, or my wife, Sarah, would join me. My girlfriend at the time would join me and take care of the kids for multiple days. And so I feel like I got a lot of great hands-on experience that way. But I would say even before that, I knew that at some point I wanted to have kids for sure.
Wow, I hear such a similar story from a lot of the moms I talk to who especially grew up in larger families or maybe were the oldest or had a lot of cousins running around that just they always felt this maternal nurturing instinct. So it's interesting to hear the same kind of perspective from somebody who from a father who grew up in a similar circumstance where this was still something that you found really exciting and really like nurturing and caring, like this, you loved that, you thrived on that sense rather than maybe it being like, ugh, another thing I have to do, or this is like a burden, like you're cramming my style. I'm supposed to be playing with my buddies in a garage somewhere. So yeah, it's really great. And how did your relationship progress after college to deciding, you know, now's the time?
Well, without getting too far into our story, after college, I moved about an hour away to around the area where I grew up, and I got an apartment, and my wife stayed in the area where we went to school. She eventually moved to where I was, and we lived in different apartments, but in the same town, very, you know, walking distance for a couple of years. And she ended up getting a job back closer to where we went to school. So we were, for a period of time, seeing each other all the time. And then we went to really just on weekends. And after maybe a year or 2 years, a year and a half of that, I was in a place in my life and with my early career where it made sense for me to move down to her if we wanted to be together all the time again. And at that point, we were ready to get an apartment together, live together, and not that we weren't committed before, but just make a real commitment to move in together. And so I decided to leave the job that I was working at in video production and start a freelance business. And so I moved to where she was and we got an apartment together. As my business grew, I sort of moved it out of the apartment that we were living in and into an office. And eventually,
whoa, big move.
I know, right? And eventually proposed after a couple of years, and we bought a house and started having kids. And I guess the rest is history.
Wow. It's like if you could have written it, it sounds like this is what you would have planned if you could have.
I think so. And, you know, just like knowing from an early age that I wanted to have kids, I also, maybe it's not obvious, but I knew that I would want to get married and have that life partner. And yeah, it really kind of rolled out in a very natural way.
Yeah, that's really great. So you were you playing music professionally for money too? Like or is this just kind of like the money was a fun thing?
There was a little bit of money involved, but not too much. It was more about, you know, the hang and just bringing people together and having fun.
So the money was a perk, but you had a small business going on. So you're becoming a dad as a small business owner. That sounds like a lot of pressure.
It was a lot of pressure. I think by the time we started having kids, so I have two daughters who are 11 and 8, and when my older daughter was born, at that point, I had taken on a partner in my business and we had a couple of employees. Not to say that there's any less pressure there. In fact, in some ways, there's more pressure because now you're responsible for bringing in enough revenue that you can pay other people's salaries and support other families. But in some ways, it felt a little more stable than just being a solo entrepreneur. So yeah, I mean, it was an exciting time. I feel like I always thought about it in terms of what's the worst case scenario if this doesn't work out? And if the worst case scenario wouldn't absolutely destroy our family, then I was going to go for it and try it while I was relatively young still.
Right, right. When you can like think that there's other paths that you could potentially take, you can see a whole future ahead of you in the distance.
Exactly. So
that's really fascinating. And I hear what you're saying with the having the employees. It just kind of makes your business feel a little more like legit, like a real job, versus like this is fun and this is scary. I both sides of it make sense to me for sure.
Yeah.
So once you had kids, your life changed completely. Tell me about those early days of having a little one.
Yeah, I'm not sure that my experience is too different than most people's, but I will always remember those early days, weeks, months of having a newborn, and both times really. But I think back to the first time, which for me was, you know, almost 12 years ago now, and you know, just the sleepless nights and just the feeling delirious all the time. And you almost don't know when, what is night and what is day or what day of the week it is. And man, it can push you right to the edge of your boundaries and make you wonder. Some nights, literally, we would be up together in the night while my wife was feeding her daughter, and I would be there just kind of supporting her. I didn't do that all the time. Sometimes I would sleep too.
Yeah.
But we just look at each other and go, oh my God, like, can we survive this? Like, will we live through this? And thankfully, my wife was in a couple of Facebook groups at that time for new moms and had a lot of support from those groups and met some people that she is still in touch with today. And just found constant reinforcement that yes, you will live through this. Everybody does. It's extremely difficult. It will test everything that, you know, it'll test your patience. It'll test your everything, but you will make it through this phase. And so we reminded each other of that a lot during that period. And thankfully we've got great friends and family who, you know, came over and helped us with meals and, you know, the things that you do.
The things you hope that people will do.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a better way to say it.
Yeah. Wow. So I have so many questions for you. Sure. From this. So when we talk a lot about the transition that moms go through, I mean, obviously this podcast is Mom's Guide to Finding Herself. And we hear about how moms, we feel so physically constrained, because especially if you're breastfeeding, you are there with that child. You are a dyad. You are not, you can't separate from them for much longer than a few hours at best, especially overnight. It's just a whole other way. So tell me how your wife's transition to motherhood and those physical demands and emotional and mental demands, how did that impact you watching her go through that?
I think that my approach to observing her going through that was to be available to her in any way that I could. And even though we both had experience babies and toddlers, I mean, as you know, Chrissy, it's just like a completely, completely different thing when you are the person or the people solely responsible for keeping an infant alive. And so all that to say, like, you can read all the books available, but until you're in it, there's no way to be prepared for how that's going to feel. Mm-hmm. And obviously I don't have that same experience of being physically tethered. So my approach was just, I'm going to be as present as possible and available as possible to support both of them however it's needed, and to just fill in the gaps and look for ways to help and do things without being asked to. And I think that was my whole thing. It's just like, how can I be of service to my family?
Yeah. I can imagine it's tricky to try to figure out your place in this new role, because the mother's role is very clear. There's no doubt about what the mother has to do. It's where and how the father chooses or sees the place to come in. And it's not always easy, because there is the maternal gatekeeping aspect that can come in, where like there's such a hormonal connection, mm-hmm. like this chemical change to this baby, where you don't necessarily want other people to come in and help. And sometimes it ebbs and flows. Like within a second, you can be like, nope, stay away. I've got it. I'm going to do this the right way. I know best. And then a second later or 10 minutes later, you're like, well, why are you not doing something? Why are you not helping? How is that experience for you with trying to find your place in this new partnership?
Well, I think as human beings, it can be easy to let your instincts in a situation like that get the best of you, and to push back and say, I'm just doing what you told me to do 10 minutes ago. And now, I also don't know that I am necessarily representative of all dads, and certainly don't claim to be like an expert or somebody who like always did things the right way. But I'll say, like, it's extremely important to be like patient and try to remember that, like, we've got hormonal stuff going on too, but nothing like nothing even remotely close to what a mother is going through hormonally. And so it's hard for us to comprehend those types of inconsistencies and changes in just a moment's time. So to whatever degree we can be just patient and just roll with it and just try to be there for whatever she needs, like, it's only going to serve to make the experience better for everybody involved.
Right. Now, I'm curious how your relationship might have changed throughout all of this experience, because I want to talk more in the next episode about all of your experience talking to dads. I know you're not necessarily the like dad representative, you're not our token dad necessarily, but we will in the next episode dive into all the conversations you've had with other dads to get that perspective too. But I want to hear how your identity, we talked a little bit about it with the music, but how was your identity changed as you became a dad? Like, what new things were coming up for you? What things were you no longer interested in? I want to hear your experience with this shift.
It's funny because, like, we did talk about the music, but I think even beyond, like, the actual, like, getting on stage and, like, and playing instruments, there's this idea that, you know, you're in a band, you kind of are seeking attention of some sort. Mm-hmm. And when I became a dad, it's just like, I no longer cared about being in the spotlight or looking cool or having people think that I was like cool or interesting. I feel like the spotlight, my own personal spotlight, just started to shine on my kids. And again, it's just not something that I've thought about too much. It's a part of my life that I'm okay leaving behind. It doesn't really matter to me if we go out in public to a farmer's market and I like look like a total dork. I don't really care what people think about me. It's all just about being with my family. I think that the other thing that I would say is that there are things from, like, we all have a story. We all have a set of experiences that we had prior to having kids. For me, it was being in video production. It was the music stuff. It was all these things that I had a lot of interest in, and some of them I still carry through now. But being able to sort of pick and choose things from my past to share with my kids or to teach them. For example, I've got a fatherhood podcast, and my daughters have been on and off really interested in that, not just what a podcast is, but like, how do you make it? Like, how do you edit audio files? How do you figure out the story that you want to tell? And being able to share some of those tools with them and actually see them like see interest from them in that is super gratifying as well.
Oh, that's so cool to hear like how you've taken on this role and it just feels right. Like just the everything else doesn't matter. Like you are just here to help these kids thrive and learn, and you seem to get so much joy from the just watching them grow and watching them become who they are. That's what I'm getting from you.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so gratifying. It's so exciting. And my girls, I mean, everybody loves their kids, right? But I'm just like, as my girls grow, just to see them become these like curious, like funny, hysterical, like kind, empathetic, crazy people it's just a roller coaster, and I'm enjoying it so much.
Amazing. I want to know, what's been the hardest part for you of being a dad along the road so far for your 11 years? Maybe it's a moment in time. Maybe it's a theme that keeps popping up. What's been most challenging for you?
I think the hardest thing for me was my mother passed away about 4 years ago. And so my girls are, like I said, 11 and 8 now. So they were 7 and 4 then. And even my 4-year-old still has such strong, clear memories of my mother. And I think part of that is, you know, we live in a world now where we're constantly taking photos and videos, so we can very easily like recall photos, and they can see her and they can hear her voice and things like that. So I think that helps with some of the memory stuff. But that was it was hard for all of us. It was really hard for my girls. And they bring her up all the time, still talk about how much they miss her and how great of a grandmother she was. Yeah. And everybody processes grief differently, you know, and at different ages, it's going to hit differently. But that was a tough thing for our family and for me in particular, because I had a very close relationship with my mom. And it makes me think about, you know, other people in my family who are growing older on both sides of our family, my dad, you know, my wife's parents. And I'm not looking forward to going through that again, not only for my own grieving process, but to usher the girls through that process again. Admittedly, I'm a little curious to see, now that they're 4 years older, yeah, how it might look different. But yeah, it's something that has been really tough, and I'm not looking forward to having to go through it again at some point, hopefully not anytime soon.
Absolutely. I hope so too. That's so hard to have to grieve yourself while also helping your children go through this. And what I'm getting from you, and I may be wrong here, is this sense of you want just for your family to be happy. You want for your girls to be happy. You want them to be thriving. And when you can't fix that, that seemed like it was tough when you couldn't do anything about that.
Yeah. I've never thought about it that way, but I think you're absolutely right. It was also really interesting because it gave them a chance to see both my wife and me be very vulnerable, you know, like to get emotional. And my girls know that there's certain little buttons that they can push that will trigger me to like tear up, just like reminding me of things they did when they were young. But to see me like actually cry out of sadness for losing my mother, or will like be reading a book at bedtime that for both of us like triggers a memory of her and become emotional. Like that's another super interesting just shift in the dynamic of our relationship. And I like it. Like, I think it's good for them to see that their parents can be strong and always will have their back and will like always protect them and always lift them up, but also can go through periods where like things hurt real bad. And that's, I think it's a good life lesson for them.
It really is. And they're so lucky to have a emotionally mature male role model in their life to show them that men have feelings and men can have a wide range of them. That's amazing. Now, I want to hear just one happy memory that you've had with your girls, something that sticks out of something that it just makes you smile.
Oh man, there's so many.
I know.
You know, growing up, I always loved being outside and like looking for critters, flipping over rocks, looking for worms and catching frogs and toads. And we live in an area where there's like lots of great hiking trails around us. And so we go out on hikes and we're always just like looking for snakes and salamanders or like walking around a big pond, like catching frogs. And that's something that brings all of us a lot of joy. My wife might get a little annoyed with us sometimes, but it brings the girls and me a lot of joy.
I love that. I love that that image of you all like catching salamanders and looking under rocks for newts and things like that. It's so cute. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today, Adam. I hope that you'll come back for the next episode where we can talk more about all of the conversations that you've had with dads and the observations that you've made about the evolution of a dad throughout their journey.
I'll be there.
Tell us, where can everyone find you and your podcast?
Sure. Well, you can find Modern Dadhood at moderndadhood.com or just search Modern Dadhood on any of the podcast platforms. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Sometimes we appear on TikTok and on YouTube. So really anywhere that you might be looking, you can find Modern Dadhood. For information on me specifically, I have a website, adamflaherty.tv. And I can spell that, but if you're going to include a link in your episode notes, then I won't bother you with spelling my ridiculous last name.
I will definitely include a link in the show notes, so that way you can just scroll on over to that and connect with Adam. Thank you so much for being here with me, Adam.
Thank you, Chrissy. This has been so much fun.
If you found this episode as interesting as I did, share it with a friend or some of the dads in your life. Take a second to follow the show and leave a rating and review. It really helps more moms find the show. And come on over and say hi on Instagram at Mom Identity Project. I'd love to connect with you. You're going to want to stick around because in the next episode, Adam's coming back. After interviewing over 150 dads from all kinds of backgrounds on his podcast, Modern Dadhood, he's sharing what he's learned about the quiet struggles, the emotional shifts, and the surprising joys of fatherhood, especially the stuff that dads wish moms knew about. It's honest, eye-opening, and filled with moments that just might change the way you see your parenting partner or your own dad. You won't want to miss it. If you're ready to start making some more connections, sending DMs, or reaching out at the playground, then you can grab my free PDF, Make Mom Friends in 7 Days. It's full of scripts, prompts, and reflection tools that you can use, or copy and paste messages that you can send right now to start making those connections and friendships. You can find the link in the show notes.